The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We've got a lot going on today, and I want to get right out of the gate with a crazy story that's out there, and I want to share the information we have with you, because if you follow us on social media, if you're following the Twitter feeds, you know there is a story out there involving South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. And we have invited the governor to come on to the program to talk about this, and that may happen today. So, Grace, if we get a call from South Dakota, that's the governor. So we'll just stop what we're doing, and we will take her call. So there is a report, and again, these are all allegations, but it's important to get this information out there because I know many of you are supporters of Kristi Noem. This is from American Greatness. They are reporting exclusively that the governor of South Dakota is having an affair with former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski. Now, I will tell you that I have heard from my sources. I've reached out to people I know within the Trump world, and they say that that they believe this to be true. There is no evidence, just, again, word of mouth in this story, but there is no evidence that they provided in American Greatness other than unnamed sources. And it just seems to me that if you're going to do a story like this, if you are going to attempt to destroy a woman and her family and her career, and quite frankly, a possible presidential run in 2024, you should actually use sources on the record. You say, Todd, why are you talking about this? Because it's out there. And somebody's got to be able to offer a counterbalance here. Look, I don't know if it's true or not. We've reached out to Governor Noem, and literally in the 90 seconds leading up to the music that you heard announcing our show, I was on the phone with someone in the Noem circle. And that individual tells me that they've got no reason at all to believe that this is true, and that this individual has also spoken with longtime staff members of Kristi Noem, and they too say that there's nothing there. But again, we have invited the governor to come onto the program. We are inviting Corey Lewandowski to come onto the program. We've reached out to their camps, and we will let you know if they come on board the show today. But I will say this, when you look at what's about to happen in 2024, it is going to be cutthroat, and there is going to be open warfare between the rhinos, between President Trump, and between the conservatives who want to be the next President Trump. They want to carry the Make America Great Again banner into the future. So there are a lot of moving parts here, and there's going to be a lot of ugliness. But this is really ugly, and we will keep you updated on this. But right now, unless there's proof, this is just an ugly allegation. And we will see if the governor will come on. She's always been good to come on this program, and we have provided a very fair platform. And I said as much to the governor's staff, and we will see what happens. But I like Kristi Noem. As a matter of fact, she was on Newsmax TV last night, had the big town hall with Rob Schmidt over at the Reagan Ranch in right outside of Santa Barbara, California. So she is very well positioned to have a significant role in the Republican Party moving forward. So we will keep you updated on this development. And again, the reporting out of American Greatness. So look, the other big story that is happening right now is up on Capitol Hill. And yesterday, the Senate Armed Forces Committee heard a shocking testimony from our generals and from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The same thing is happening right now in the House of Representatives. So the House Armed Services Committee is meeting, and we are monitoring those developments, and we will bring that information to you. I do want to share with you a report, and this, again, is very, very important as we understand what just happened in Afghanistan. I've been watching all of this, reading all of this, starting to jot down notes, little dashes and dots for my new book that I'm beginning to write. And as I was following the developments out of Afghanistan, how we left people behind, how we pulled the military out, and we left people to fend for themselves, it reminded me of something, and I couldn't put my finger on it right away. But I figured it out now. This idea that the government, the Biden administration, would abandon American citizens, abandon military personnel behind enemy lines. Where have we seen that play out before, folks? Where have we seen that happen? It happened in Benghazi. Remember what happened at the consulate in Benghazi. And we still don't have the full story of what went down, but we know that Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, left Americans behind to die. That's what happened in Benghazi. And we know about the American ambassador. We know that story, but we don't know the full story of what happened in Benghazi, except that the Obama administration left American citizens behind enemy lines to die, and that is the same thing the Biden administration does. And it is further evidence in my mind that Barack Obama, or at least many in his circle, are currently the shadow government. They are running the shadow government in Washington, D.C. So here's the story, the latest out of Afghanistan. A jetliner filled with American citizens, evacuees, was able to take off, but it was not allowed to land. As a matter of fact, this U.S.-bound charter plane was blocked from landing at the airport in the United Arab Emirates. And you know who was responsible for blocking the plane from landing, ladies and gentlemen? It was none other than the United States. The flight was chartered by a nonprofit group called Project Dynamo. It departed Kabul, got held up for over 14 hours at Abu Dhabi's airport. 117 people on board, including 59 children. The plan was to transfer the passengers to an Ethiopian Airlines flight and then another to JFK in Queens. But U.S. Customs and Border Protection switched their clearance and then revoked landing rights anywhere in the United States. So I want you to understand what just happened. The Biden administration has now blocked American citizens trapped in Afghanistan from actually getting back home. And we can only hope that somebody up on Capitol Hill on the House Armed Services Committee asks what's going on there. So anyway, I want to go back to yesterday and Mark Milley and also General McKenzie. You're going to hear, first of all, Mark Milley confirming under oath that he recommended against Biden's timeline for pulling out of Afghanistan.
But I will give you my honest opinion, and my honest opinion and view shaped my recommendation. I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. And I also recommended earlier in the fall of 2020 that we maintain 4,500 at that time. Those are my personal views. I also have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government.
Yes, so I understand that. And General Milley, I assume you agree with that in terms of the recommendation of 2,500?
What I said in my opening statement and the memoranda that I wrote back in the fall of 2020 remained consistent, and I do agree with that.
This committee is unsure as to whether or not General Miller's recommendation ever got to the president. Obviously, there are conversations with the president. Yeah, but I would like to ask, even though General McKenzie, I think you've all made this statement, did you talk to the president about General Miller's recommendation?
Sir, I was present when that discussion occurred. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident that the president heard all the recommendations and listen to him very thoughtfully.
Okay, so the first voice you heard there was actually General McKenzie, and then the follow-up came from General Milley. And by the way, General McKenzie says that he did recommend, again, 2,500 troops at the very least be left in Afghanistan. He actually wanted more.
General McKenzie, isn't it true that the president rejected your best military opinion and advice as to how quickly to withdraw American troops from Afghanistan?
Well, I will say this. It has been my view that we should have, that I recommended a level of 2,500, a level that would have allowed us to hold Bagram and other airfields as well. Once you go below that level and make a decision to go to zero, it is no longer feasible to hold Bagram.
But that was your best opinion and advice.
That remains my view now as it was then.
All right. There you have it, folks. And to this day, to this date, no one has paid a price for what went down. Now, here's where we are. First of all, you can't trust General Milley. I mean, he went on record saying he was the guy that went out there. He talked to at least three, maybe four people writing books. He was giving them all this insider information about what was happening inside the Pentagon, what was happening inside the Biden administration. Now, this is very important. Nobody is talking about that. They will be talking about it later tonight on Fox News because they're listening to us right now. But you're going to hear it first here. There's something not quite right about this. All right. So nobody's been punished. Nobody, not a single general, not a single military officer in the Pentagon, no one in the Biden administration, the president of the United States himself, nobody's been punished except for one person. Only one person has actually been punished for what happened in Afghanistan, and he was the guy, he was the Marine who actually criticized the withdrawal, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. And this guy, because he went public, because he told people about what was happening and how so many Marines, how many of the rank and file, how many Marines were so aggravated that they were not allowed to go out there and rescue American citizens, that they were forced to pull out before the job was done. He was thrown into the brig. And look, Lieutenant Colonel Scheller completely understands all of this. He realizes that he violated the military rules and regulations, and he was prepared to accept the consequences for his actions. But now they've thrown this guy in the brig, and he is facing serious jail time simply for speaking out against what was happening in Afghanistan. And honest to goodness, folks, he was saying what all of us have been talking about over at the Waffle House or over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. We all think the same thing. So understand where we are now. The generals were not punished. President Biden was not punished. But Stuart Scheller was punished because he opposed what the president was doing. So where are we now? Well, a couple of things are true. So let's go through this. The generals could be lying. They could have lied under oath. Or Joe Biden is lying, and he lied to ABC News and George Stephanopoulos. That could have happened. Or it could be that President Biden has some sort of a medical issue that causes him to forget. Either way you look at it, it's a horrible situation. But I want to go a step further, and hear me on this. Stuart Scheller is being punished. He's in the brig right now. This Marine is in the brig because he spoke out. He went public. Well, what do you think General Mark Milley did? He acknowledged that he went public. He violated the very rules that Stuart Scheller violated. So why is it that General Milley is not in the brig alongside Stuart Scheller? I want somebody up on Capitol Hill to explain that one to us. All right, we've got to take a break here. I'm a little long-winded today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Should the generals be fired? Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up a little bit later. She's going to tell us she wants the president to step down. He has now disqualified himself from office. What say you, America? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd's Darns.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Gotta love the Eagles. Little Hotel California and the Starnes DJ booth. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on. Hey, by the way, we have some great guests. Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be here a little bit later on. Also, Congressman Jody Heiss. You folks over in Georgia, he wants to be your next Secretary of State. So we'll be talking to Jody Heiss, who makes a brilliant point about the Democrats and medical freedom. We're going to play some audio about that a little bit later on. But I do want to remind you, all this month we are launching a campaign. And I say all this month, we're actually launching it a few days early because this is for the entire month of October. We are raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom. We've been covering a lot of cases involving religious liberty under attack, whether it be high school kids that are told they cannot pray in school. It might be a football coach who is under the gun because he can't pray with his team. You've got businesses that are being told they have to reject their own religious beliefs, and there's really no place else for those guys to turn except for Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF. And all this month, we are raising money for their Freedom Fund. So here's the deal. Our show, we have committed to raise $20,000, $20,000 for Alliance Defending Freedom. And Grace Baker, I want you to turn your microphone on because this will impact you. So I was talking with our team last night, and we're going to be putting together some special incentives for people to give money.
Okay.
So for example, and we're just going to, I'll just throw this out there. So one of the things we're looking at is maybe for a certain dollar amount, if you make that certain dollar amount, we will fly you and a guest to Memphis. We'll put you up at the Peabody Hotel, and we'll let them sit in on the show, and we'll take them out to dinner. So all of us, the whole team here, will be able to, and maybe bring Merlot.
You could meet Merlot. That's the real incentive.
And we're working on some brand new swag for the company store, and I mean really cool stuff like windbreakers, jackets, sweaters, and it's really going to be nice. So we're going to be building in some incentives, and those are the high dollar donors. You know, those are the high rollers. So we're thinking like, you know, $10,000, $5,000, $1,000. And look, a lot of folks, you can say, well, I don't have $1,000, but I got $100. You know what? That's great. I mean, every little bit helps. Even if you just have $5, that helps. But we'll have to take them to Barbie. The problem is we got to take them out to dinner somewhere, Grace. And that does raise an issue. Where do you want to take these folks out to dinner?
Oof.
I mean, Central Barbecue, Commissary.
Not commissary. Right. Well, just, you know what? I feel like it depends on their taste.
I love commissary.
Oh, commissary. I was thinking rendezvous.
I hate rendezvous.
Yeah, thank you. That's why I was like, everyone
that's
goes
not
to
ribs.
Rendezvous.
Those are bones.
No,
with,
I like commissary.
Scraggles of meat on
I hate
it.
Commissary. Yeah. gosh, Todd, there's so many good choices.
Well, we're going to think on that. And while we think on it, we want you to go to our website, toddstearns.com, and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and you can make your donation during the commercial break. It's super fast. Again, toddstearns.com. You can also call 855-716-7461. That's 855-716-7461. When you donate, tell them, hey, I was listening to the Todd Stearns Show. And let's help Alliance Defending Freedom. 13 victories they've had at the Supreme Court. And God bless them for standing up for people, great American patriots all over this country. Hey, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our number. We'll be right back, folks. Marsha Blackburn coming up. I can't imagine what the United States would be like without Alliance Defending Freedom. I've been covering their stories for a number of years. We've had most of their clients on our radio show. Alliance Defending Freedom, fighting for religious liberty, free speech, marriage and family, parental rights, and of course, the pro-life movement. And they are very successful at what they do. 13 Supreme Court victories since 2011, and they have played a significant role in many other court cases around the country. But here's what's really amazing about Alliance Defending Freedom. They provide legal services to their clients free of charge. Do not charge a penny. And that's where you come into the picture. We are helping Alliance Defending Freedom raise money so they can continue to fight for our freedom. And I want to encourage you right now to consider investing $100 in the Freedom Fund. Help Alliance Defending Freedom continue to fight these court battles and be ready when your freedoms are threatened too. All you need to do is click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at toddstearns.com or call 855-716-7461. That's the ADF banner, toddstearns.com, or call 855-716-7461. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great American patriot with us today from the Volunteer State, Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, always good to have you on the program.
And it is good to join you. Thank you so much.
Senator, I think most of the nation watching those hearings yesterday, they were standing and cheering with the way you handled yourself and the questions that you posed to the generals. Based on what you heard, what needs to happen next?
What needs to happen next is we need to find out why Joe Biden and his advisors, Ron Klain as chief of staff, the infamous Susan Rice and Jake Sullivan, Antony Blinken, why they did not take the advice of the commanders on the field. Were they so given to having this victory lap on September 11th that they just said, we don't care if we get people out. We are going to pull up stakes and be gone. On August 31st, we are done. We're out of there. If Americans are left behind, so be it. We're going to get as many as we can. But then after that, work with the Taliban. And that, I think, was surprising that Milley and Austin and General McKenzie all said advice had been pushed up the food chain. And, of course, General Milley, as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, also fills the role as the president's primary military advisor. Now, another question becomes, did he challenge the president and say, Mr. President, if you move forward as you plan to, what is going to happen is a complete collapse of the country. This is why there was a conditions-based withdrawal plan. So more questions really arose through the day than we got answers for.
You know, it just seems to me, listening to the testimony, a couple of things are true here. Either Joe Biden lied to the American people, lied to George Stephanopoulos at ABC, or the generals were lying yesterday, or the president may be suffering from some sort of a malady where he genuinely cannot remember what he was told. But either way, Senator, it is a bad situation.
Well, you're correct about that. And for him to tell George Stephanopoulos that no one ever said you need to keep the truth level at 2,500, that is amazing, because General McKenzie, when you hear his testimony, he said at a minimum of 2,500, but he had recommended 4,000.
That's right.
And that would allow us to keep Bagram, the embassy, provide support at HKIA, and have the troops have a little bit more of, you know, a routine. So I appreciate that. He was looking after the men that and women that are under his command. And bear in mind that prison with the 5,000 terrorist prisoners was there at Bagram Airfield. So that is one of the reasons. Keeping that prison, keeping our intel assets, all of our surveillance assets there at Bagram, because it was letting us see what China and what Russia and what Iran were doing. We put a lot of money into building out that post, not only as an airfield, but also as an ISR center. So President Biden and his team, you know, Todd, you really have to look at it and say, all right, is this debacle intentional? Did they just say, okay, China, it's yours. You and Iran take it. Are they looking to embolden someone other than the United States and the U.S. warfighter? They have messed this up so terribly, and they were given advice and counsel that if they did what they were trying to do, that they were going to end up with issues that would make for an untenable situation, which the worst of the worst happened, and now they're trying to clean it up.
And you know, Senator, we don't do a lot of conspiracy stuff on this show, but as I was watching all of this unfold and seeing how they were engaging in this flawed foreign policy in Afghanistan, leaving Americans behind, I just reminded myself of what happened in Benghazi. And then you have to ask yourself, who is really calling the shots in the Biden administration? Because what happened in Benghazi, there are some pretty close similarities to what just happened in Afghanistan.
Well, you're right about that. We had talked about that just a little bit, because there are some similarities there. And they really had a wag the dog sort of situation going on in Benghazi. Then they sent Susan Rice out to say it was all about a video, which was a lie. They castigated General David Petraeus and attempted to ruin his life because they needed somebody to blame this on. So I, quite frankly, Todd, I think it's going to be interesting to see if Milley and Austin remain in their positions much longer, if they're going to be summarily dismissed, because somebody's got to be blamed for this. And those guys sat there yesterday and said, we briefed the president. Now, you know, one of the funny things with Milley was he would not tell us what he briefed the president, what his words were. I did ask for any written briefings that they have. And they're required constitutionally to provide that to us, and we look forward to getting that. But here Milley wouldn't tell us what Joe Biden was saying or what he told Joe Biden, but he had plenty of time to go call up the authors of, now we find out, 3 books, there may be more, and try to rat on President Donald Trump and administration officials for the Trump administration.
And Senator, here's what the great irony here. The only person who has been punished because of what happened in Afghanistan is that Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who actually spoke out, and now he's in the brig. And he understands. He understands that there was a price to pay for what he was going to do, speaking publicly. But in essence, Senator, that's exactly what General Milley did when he spoke publicly to those people writing those books. And yet that guy still has a job.
That's right. And he has participated in all this reputation rehab for himself. But yes, you're right. That is what General Milley did. He went outside of his chain of command. He spoke against his commander-in-chief very publicly, obviously, to these authors who put him in his book with attribution. I said yesterday when he answered that he had not read the books and he didn't know if he was accurately represented, I kind of laughed and I said, you know, probably he was sent autographed copies by all of those authors as a thank you for coming on and speaking disparagingly about President Donald Trump.
It's a fair point you raise, and you, among others, calling for the president to step down over this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The betrayal of the trust of the men and women in uniform, the way he has conducted himself, our allies are all upset with us. I think that the president, vice president, Secretary Blinken over at State, Secretary Austin there at DOD, and General Milley, all should be relieved of their positions.
All right, Senator, we're a lot of information there. Well done yesterday. Terrific job with the questioning. And we appreciate you, as always, coming on the program.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Senator Marsha Blackburn, ladies and gentlemen.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now, click on the Radio Listener Specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillow mattress toppers, towels, and so much more. For example, Mike is offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. Enter promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope you are doing well. Got some great guests coming up. Senator Bill Haggerty is going to drop by. Also, our good friend Congressman Jody Heiss is going to be here as well. All right, folks, now more than ever, you know it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values, and this is why we support Patriot Mobile. They sponsor our Newsmaker line. Patriot Mobile is America's only a Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they not only share our beliefs, but they're doing something about it with every single dollar they have. They donate a portion of that dollar to pro-life groups, Second Amendment groups, groups that are fighting for religious liberty. And that's why I want to encourage you to consider switching to Patriot Mobile right now. Use the promo code Todd. They're going to give you free activation and hook you up with a free gift. And who doesn't like a gift? Patriot Mobile, by the way, has incredible nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the big guys use, and they have a plan to fit any budget at all. And if you are a veteran or first responder, by golly, they're going to hook you up with even more great discounts. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now, Grace Baker, you know that I love steak and burgers, and you know, I've had to cut back
all the meats.
I've had to cut back, but when I do eat a when I do eat a burger, it's got to be a great burger, not down at, you know, McDonald's or Burger King. Yeah, I hate Burger King.
I don't like it either.
They say it's flame broiled, but I think that's painted on. I think the lines are
peasant
with a magic marker or something. So anyway, there's a story out of Vancouver, and the next big thing here is something called experimental meat that's grown in like laboratories.
I thought they were already doing that.
And they're charging $126 for hamburgers that were actually grown in labs. So we're not talking about, you know, delicious grass-fed beef. We're talking about, you know, some guy with like, you know, in a lab coat.
This is why I only
growing your meat. Yeah, I don't think I would do that. $126 though. But here's what concerns. It's not just beef. They're also doing chicken. And there's a place in Berkeley, California. It's a startup company, and I'm very concerned about this. It's called Memphis Meats.
Oh, no.
As in Memphis. Now, I'm just going to go out and I'll just go ahead and say this, and, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. But if you are in Memphis, Tennessee, and you sit down and you're serving a piece of chicken that was grown in a lab, there will be a come to Jesus minute. I'm just saying. I don't think we don't tolerate that kind of nonsense.
Nope.
Here. As a matter of fact, I will say, oh, here we go. They're saying, though, the problem is with all of these these lab-grown meats is that it costs a lot of money. So so to make their money back, what do they have to do, Grace? You either serve a lot of beverages. That's where a lot of the restaurants make their money.
Yes.
On booze and Coca-Colas and iced tea.
Yes.
But you would have, I mean, the markups here are just remarkable. And they're saying that, you know, you would need to charge $126 for a lab-grown hamburger at your restaurant.
That's an expensive hamburger.
Oh, they're calling it cultured meat, by the way.
You've got to have a fancy name for it. It's that expensive.
There's no way. I will never forget this. The one thing I did, and in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, I'm not even sure people recognize the contribution I made. back in my liberal neighborhood, I was the only, I don't know, I may have been the only meat eater, at least on my street.
Oh, my goodness.
So there were not a lot of.
You were a loner.
I was a loner. It was difficult. But one day I went to get some sausage, and I love Jimmy Dean sausage, but they don't have Jimmy Dean there. So they had some other brand.
Okay.
So I pick it up. It's already the kind of, all you got to do is heat it up.
Sure.
You know, the microwave kind of a deal.
Frozen.
So, yeah, it is what it is. You got to make two if you're living in the North. So anyway, I go to the market, get my provisions, go back home. I'm putting, as the microwave is heating up the sausage, there is a very unusual aroma. And I thought, oh, that's not good. And then I look at the package and I realize, oh, it's maple. You know, they had the maple flavored,
yes,
you know, sausage. Not a big fan, but I was going to make a pancake or a waffle or something. So I thought, all right, it goes. It is what it is.
It goes with the theme.
So I had, that's back when you had Aunt Jemima.
Oh.
So I had my Aunt Jemima syrup and I'm making my, my breakfast and I taste the sausage and Grace, I couldn't even swallow. That horrible. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this sausage is bad. It had gone bad. So I'm getting ready to pack it up because literally you walk out my apartment. I live in one of those walk-ups, you know, with the brownstones.
Yep.
So I walk down, and the grocery store is literally right around the corner. So you just walk to the market. And so I'm getting ready to pack it up, and then I realize the mistake I made.
I have a feeling what it is, but continue.
It was fake meat.
Of course it was.
It was plant-based. I was eating, I don't know, broccoli or, I don't know, kumquats.
Kale.
I don't know. But it was there, and it was disgusting.
That's just not natural.
So I pack it up, and I'm angry. So I go back to the manager, and we know each other. I mean, you know, and I said, this is unacceptable. And
how could you let me buy this?
He goes, what is the problem, Mr. Starn? You know, the guy says, what? Blah, blah, blah. So I drag him. I'm like, come with me. And so we go back and they have the Mexican cheese section. They never had an American cheese section, but by golly, they had Mexican cheese.
Okay.
Wrote a column about that once and it got me in trouble. So anyway, we're going to the meat section and I say, here is the problem. He goes, what is the problem? I see no problem. There's meat. And I said, no, I think the guy was Russian. And the guy said, I said, look, here's the problem. Here is the real meat. And then right next to it, Grace Baker, is the fake meat.
That's just
cruel. He goes, what do you want me to do? I said, you've got to have separation.
Yep.
You've got to have separation. Sign. Or a giant sign. Thank you.
Yes.
With a red flashing light. Warning. You're about to eat kumquats.
You're about to eat trash.
So anyway.
So it wasn't maple. Now I want to know what they were flavoring it with.
It tasted like cardboard. Yay. It tasted like, hold on, soggy, sour cardboard.
Oh.
That's what it tasted like.
And now you're going to get me. So with my pancakes, I eat sugar-free syrup.
Why?
Because I'm trying to be healthy.
Why?
It doesn't taste that different.
No.
I put blueberries in my pancakes. It evens out.
Grace. Got to go with the Aunt Jemima or whatever they're calling it now.
It is the best, but your girl's on a budget.
I understand. All right. For Christmas, I'm getting you a crate of Aunt Jemima.
Okay.
So anyway, so the resolution was the next time I went to the market, they had separated the fake meat from the real meat.
Well, that was nice.
You're welcome, Brooklyn. I'm not looking for accolades, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. Folks, coming up, we've got a lot of politics to go through. Government shutdown looming. And I say, shut it down. Do not raise that debt ceiling. Shut it down. We are spending way too much money in this country. Shut it down. All right. Our number to call in, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, by the way, is toddstearns.com. YouTube now banning any videos that share misinformation about the China virus. You know what that's all about. We've got that story if you got to check that out. We'll be right back, America.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what the appropriate vernacular might be for what Congressman Matt Gaetz just did to General Mark Milley during the House Armed Services Committee. But Grace Baker, if it's appropriate for me to get into a little bit of slang, he just got toe up from the flow up, as they say.
Ooh, that's a new one for me.
I've never seen anything like this. We are efforting the audio here, and we'll have that a little bit later on. But Congressman Gaetz just went after General Milley. And one of the comments here, Matt Gaetz says, if we did not have a president that was so addled, you all would be fired. That is a fair point, but we're going to keep you updated on the testimony. It's going to go on all day long. So we'll keep you updated from the high points and the low points of today's hearing up on Capitol Hill. 844-747-8868. That's the number. If you want to call, give us a holler. You want to get on the air. We already have some folks waiting, so hang tight. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. And, of course, our website is toddstearns.com, and we sure do hope you bookmark that for all of your conservative news. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always a great day to when Hogan Gidley hangs out with us. He is the director of the Center for Election Integrity, and he's also a fellow Newsmax contributor. Hogan, good to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you. Thanks so much, Todd, for having me on.
By the way, the big family, you know, we live in a family divided during football season, and so about half the family was down at Ole Miss the other day for the big game in the Grove.
Well, I don't know why you're divided. You should all be Ole Miss fans.
Well,
should be no division there. You should default to Ole Miss. I don't know what the division's for.
Well, it's I'm their black sheep. Technically, the orange sheep. You know, big Tennessee Volunteer fan here, Hogan. I've got issues.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
It is what it is.
That's fine.
Hogan,
we got that game's coming up too.
Yeah. Yes, it is. God help us. Wow. Hogan, these hearings up on Capitol Hill. Pretty unbelievable, and the question on everybody's minds, why hasn't anybody been fired as a result of what happened over in Afghanistan?
Yeah, look, I'm going to take a different tack here. I heard you make the comment regarding what Matt Gaetz had said in the hearing. I would argue there isn't but one person who should be fired, the person making the decision. And we know who that person is. That's Joe Biden. Everyone's looking around going, oh, wait a minute, why isn't Milley fired? Why isn't McKenzie fired? Well, I mean, Joe Biden's the one who said he made the decision. He's the one who didn't listen to his generals and lied to the American people and said, no, I never heard anything about another plan. We were all unified. Now everyone's coming out and saying, no, that's not the case. We actually presented multiple plans. It was funny to watch him yesterday, too, to say, hey, look, no, we can't get into private conversations with the president, but yes, we did tell him to leave 2,500 troops on the ground. So my argument is it's Joe Biden's fault. And the administration's not going to fire anybody because then it would be a tacit acknowledgement that they failed, that this has been horrible. But a couple things I think are important to kind of note here. I mean, the Afghanistan thing we know is a debacle. But also, 10 civilians are dead because someone made the decision to drone them and destroy, snuff out their lives. And that seems to be a secondary issue for many members up on Capitol Hill on the left who refuse to acknowledge that this over-the-horizon nonsense is obviously not working. It is obviously not as good as having intel on the ground there. So we can debate whether or not we should have stayed there. We can't debate the horrific nature in which we withdrew because it's pretty obvious and everyone's seen it. But also the mistakes that follow, who's to blame for that? Did Joe Biden make the call to strike out and then find out, whoa, they weren't ISIS leaders. We were trying to be all cool and say we really avenged the death, the tragic preventable death of those servicemen and women. But instead, they changed the story a couple days later and said, no, it was classified. We couldn't say who we killed. And now they're saying, well, guess what? It was civilians and 7 of them were children. This is just a bad deal all the way around. And while I do say Joe Biden should be fired, I will agree, the rest of them should all be gone too. This is the only place where you can fail that many times, destroy that many lives, and for whatever reason, you don't face any penalty.
You know, what's really fascinating about this, Hogan, when you look at this and then compare what happened in the Obama administration with Benghazi, where, again, Americans left behind, Americans who were killed, and then you had this horrible situation in Afghanistan where Americans left behind and you had Americans killed. And it does, again, make you wonder who really is calling the strings, because there are the similarities between Obama foreign policy and Biden's very, very similar.
Very similar. And we know the disaster that was Barack Obama's foreign policy. We know the disaster that is Joe Biden's. I mean, look, when you're giving pallets of cash to Iran, that's a significant issue. When your vice president is nodding along as students in a classroom point out the fact that Israel is committing genocide, and instead of saying, no, ma'am, that's not true, just nodding along and saying, yeah, you're not going to be stifled in this country. You know, you keep going. Great comment. That's a problem. And we've known Joe Biden's ability to mess things up. You know, Barack Obama famously said, never underestimate that ability of Joe's to mess everything up. And we know Secretary Gates under Obama said all of Joe Biden's decisions in the last 40 years were all terrible. That's all true. But you're really starting to see a good juxtaposition, a jarring difference between us being feared, loved, and respected all over the world with Donald Trump in the White House versus Joe Biden and all of our strongest allies, Israel chief among them, Great Britain, France. Everyone's upset with the way Joe Biden's doing things. And we knew this in the campaign. I said it on your show many times. This guy's made failure the norm in his career for the last 50 years in elected office. So I don't know why anyone would be surprised at this.
Well said. Hogan, real quick, how do you like the new gig over at Newsmax?
Love it. People are great. They really care about presenting facts and information that a lot of members of the mainstream media won't touch, you know, and everyone over there just does a great job, whether they're, you know, turning on the microphones for you, whether in your ear saying you got 5 seconds or whether they're an anchor or a reporter, everyone over there is doing it for the right reasons. That's always important to me. And they've been nothing but great to work with since I've joined the team, and you know, they put out a good product, and I think the American people deserve to hear some news out there. Your show is one of those places they can tune in and hear some different opinions and some good information. Newsmax is the same thing, and I think that's what it should be about.
Well said. Well said. All right, Hogan, look forward to see you on the TV, and always appreciate you coming on the show.
Anytime, Todd. Thanks so much.
All right, Hogan Gidley, ladies and gentlemen, from the Center for Election Integrity, also a Newsmax contributor, and doing a terrific job over there. By the way, we always do our hits on Thursday, so we look forward to seeing you on Newsmax on Thursday. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the phones. We have a couple of folks that called in at the in the last few moments of the last hour. Let's go to Julie in Portland, Maine. Julie, welcome to the program. What is on your mind today?
I've got education on my mind. I want to ask for the government to think about the value of college. It used to be that when you had a college education, you were now qualified for a higher level of occupation. But if we devalue college into the category of high school, free high school, free college, it will become a devalued thing. Everyone gets it, therefore it isn't as special as it used to be. Where we want to spend our money is in required classes for all immigrants to teach the values and rules of the United States of America. I think someone should start thinking of this very seriously. Instead of trying to grab our little kids when they're 3 years old and start inculcating values to them at that age, some of this care business that goes into schools is really getting blatant. They have care for the youngsters now. That's what they want. They want care for the elderly. That's what they want. When actually are the people going to be thinking and learning on their own? Thinking and learning.
But Julie, they don't. But Julie, the public education system, now under the control of the Marxist, they do not want children to think, and they don't want children to be educated, that because they know they have a better chance of controlling a dumbed down society.
That is my point exactly. That's why free education for college is the worst possible thing to give people.
And that's why, Julie, that's why Barack Hussein Obama was so determined to get every single young person into a college. And we all know here that not everybody wants to go to college. Not everybody needs to go to college. You need the trades. You need people that can build houses and wire houses. You need people that can fix cars, mechanics, and weld things. You need those trades.
We should give a degree for those people who learn the trades. They should have the status of a degree after their name.
But I'm with you, Julie. I mean, back in the day, and this goes back to even the 1920s, 1930s, there were stories of people that would, you know, these farmers, and they would send their kid off to college with a cow so the kid would be able to, you know, or chickens, so they could, you know, sell the milk, or they could sell the eggs, you know, help pay their bills. I mean, you had to work. I mean, nothing was given to you. You had a job to do. I worked two jobs when I was in college. You do what you have to do.
A lot of countries, when you go to jail, you have to bring your own food and clothing, and your family has to provide that for you while you're in jail.
I like that idea. Yeah, and again, why should we? That's right. Why should we give people a cotton three squares? Unbelievable.
Why should we give prisoners a college education for free while they're getting room and board?
It's a fair question you raise. Julie, you are a wise woman there in Portland, Maine. God bless you, and thank you for calling, and give us a holler back. I like her, Grace. She makes a lot of sense. By the way, do we have time? I think we do. I think we have time to play this. The issue of education came up last night in the big debate, that gubernatorial debate in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin, who, by the way, is a political outsider. He's never been into politics. He's a business leader. And Terry McAuliffe says, all of you moms and dads out there, you have no right to determine what your child learns in public school. Take a listen.
I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' education.
Mr. McAuliffe, 30 seconds.
So first of all, this shows how clueless Glenn Youngkin is. He doesn't understand what the laws were because he's never been involved here in helping Virginia. But it was not. The parents had to write to veto bills, veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledgeable about it. Also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out, make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats truly believe that you parents have no business telling the schools what they should be teaching your children. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks. Well, she is one of the rising stars of the GOP. Everybody talking about South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. We told you about the first hour of the program. You can go back and listen to our podcast. She is considered a contender in 2024. Kristi Noem is tough. She is a Trump supporter and unafraid to take Grace Baker. Stop it. Stop it. She is unafraid to take on Washington and the big media. Grace, you're being very inappropriate.
It's just funny because I just like teasing you. Okay?
I'm just telling you.
Look.
That's the ad. Should have taken the day off today. There's an update. This is very, you know what? We'll save the update. We have a major Corey Lewandowski update. We will save that. No, we got to talk about it.
What a tease.
We've got to talk about it.
What a tease.
So Politico just dropped this bombshell. A Trump donor is accusing Corey Lewandowski of making unwanted sexual advances. So this story just dropped. Folks, this is not coincidental. So somebody is ultimately they're targeting Trump. That's where I think this is going. A Donald Trump donor is accusing Corey Lewandowski of making unwanted sexual advances at a Las Vegas charity event. Trishelle Odom is the wife of an Idaho construction executive. She alleges that Lewandowski repeatedly touched her on her leg and buttocks. And, no, that's the word they used, buttocks, and spoke to her in sexually graphic terms. Odom said Lewandowski stalked her throughout the evening. Four people who are firsthand witnesses at the event corroborated Odom's allegations. According to a statement that Odom provided Politico, he repeatedly touched me inappropriately, said vile and disgusting things to me, stalked me, and made me feel violated and fearful. She says she's coming out because Corey Lewandowski needs to be held accountable. She says, I'm blessed to have a loving husband and family. By the way, this is not the first time. The singer, and I believe she is mentioned in this story. This story just dropped here, folks. Oh, Joy Villa. We had her on the show a number of times back in 2017-ish. She was the singer, and she filed a police report against Lewandowski, claiming that he slapped her on the buttocks. And you might remember that he was also involved in some sort of an incident with Michelle Fields, that reporter at the Trump event. That was back in 16. And now the allegation coming out from American Greatness is that Lewandowski and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem were involved in an affair. And nobody from the Noem camp is officially going on the record yet. We'll keep you posted. This is some weird stuff going down. Somebody's going after Trump, though. That's what this is all about. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, America. appropriate song for today. We got blue skies outside. So. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. By the way, we told you about Congressman Matt Gaetz going at it with General Milley. We have some of that audio. Let's play one of those clips.
And while the guy sitting next to you was off, you know, talking to Phil Rucker and was off doing his thing with Bob Woodward, we were buying into the big lie. The big lie that this was ever going to be successful and that we could ever rely on the Afghanistan government for anything at all. You know, General Milley, you kind of gave up the game earlier when you said you wanted to address elements of your personal conduct that were in question. We're not questioning your personal conduct. We're questioning in your official capacity going and undermining the chain of command, which is obviously what you did. You've created this whole chain
of communication narrative. Did not undermine the chain of command in
any manner, shape, or form. You absolutely did. And
it, did not.
Well, you know what? You said yesterday that you weren't going to resign when senators asked you this question. And I believe that you guys probably won't resign. You seem to be very happy failing up over there. But if we didn't have a president that was so addled, you all would be fired. Because that is what you deserve. You have let down the people who wear the uniform in my district and all around this country. And you're far more interested in what you're perception is and how people think about you in insider Washington books than you care about winning,
Gentleman's
which this
time
group
has
is incapable
expired.
Of doing.
Wow. Well, there you go. And there's more of that. And we'll play some more audio from the House Armed Services Committee a little bit later on. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the Volunteer State, Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator, welcome back to the show.
Todd, it's great to be back on with you today.
You know, hearing this audio from just a few moments ago, that incredible testimony we heard yesterday, and Senator Marsha Blackburn, your colleague from Tennessee, I mean, she really was going after the generals and demanding somebody be held accountable.
Yeah, it's just pure incompetence that we've seen here. It's the worst abdication of leadership in a generation. I can't remember anything like this happening in my lifetime, Todd, and I presume you probably feel the same way. We left 13 U.S. service members dead. Hundreds more Americans are stranded in Afghanistan. You think about how we've betrayed our closest allies. And then we just have this bungled, you know, over-the-horizon drone strike that General Milley called a righteous strike, and it turns out that killed 10 innocent civilians. And now we've got a refugee crisis that's happening at our southern border that is just beyond comprehension. We have weakened ourselves as a nation. We have made the entire world a more dangerous place because the weapons that we left behind in Afghanistan are some of the most sophisticated in the world. And you've got these folks, no one is taking responsibility. Look, I asked Secretary of State Antony Blinken, has he submitted his resignation? The answer is no. You know, Marsha, I think, was very clear yesterday, in her hearing on the armed forces side. There needs to be accountability here. And the only person to date that has been held accountable in America is a Marine lieutenant colonel who's now being prosecuted for suggesting that there should be accountability at the top. You go to our allies in Britain. Boris Johnson has forced the foreign ministers to step down over Afghanistan. The Dutch foreign minister has stepped down to take responsibility for what happened in Afghanistan. Yet nobody here in America is taking responsibility for this. Instead, they're trying to deflect blame, say it was Trump's fault, blame it on the Afghans. This is just beyond comprehension.
And again, I think the president of the United States owes the nation an explanation. He's either lying about this, or the generals lied yesterday under oath, which I don't think they did. Or the other option is, as Senator Gaetz said, that President Biden is dealing with some sort of a medical issue where he just genuinely forgot about the recommendations he learned from the military.
There's no good outcome here, right? You saw the Stephanopoulos interview where Biden said that no one suggested that he needed to leave 2,500 troops behind. Then you had General McKenzie, General Milley, you know, Austin, all of them there yesterday saying, yes, indeed, that was their recommendation. They'd been clear about that recommendation. And did the president ignore them? Is the president lying? Or, as you say, is there some sort of incapacity that would be regrettable? But any outcome, in any one of those three answers, I think, is terrible. And we have damaged our reputation as a nation in the process.
And Senator, and by the way, folks, Senator Bill Hagerty on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Senator, you mentioned the border crisis. Mexico City says they're going to have to open an Olympic stadium to accommodate the illegals that are headed towards the border, which is very concerning, seeing how we already have a major tent city that's been erected down there.
Well, the only thing the Biden administration is responding to at the southern border are the images that are being broadcast on TV. And if they can't stop the drones from flying over to reveal to the American public what's happening, they just do everything they can to disperse the crowds and basically send them to the interior of the United States. Marsha Blackburn and I, again, have been pressing this administration time and again to give us the information. Where are you sending these people? Have they been tested for COVID? Have they been tested for tuberculosis and other infectious diseases? Are they armed? How did you vet them? None of this information have they been forthcoming with. Our school systems are going to be overwhelmed. Our hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. Our law enforcement needs to know what's happening. Again, they want to keep America in the dark as they, quote, transform this nation. And if you look at what's inside their $3.5 trillion spend-a-thon, there's an amnesty provision in there. I think that makes it clear what the Biden administration is trying to do. They're not only trying to redefine our economy through this bill, but they're trying to redefine the electorate in America.
And Senator, I want to get to that spending bill in just a moment, but I would like for you to weigh in on this letter that Congressman Jim Jordan and Tom McClintock out of California sent to the Homeland Security chief. They're alleging that Border Patrol agents are being told you have to get vaccinated or you will be fired. Meanwhile, you have Homeland Security chief acknowledging that no one was tested or given the vaccine among the illegal alien population down there.
Yeah, the hypocrisy here knows no limits in the Biden administration. I haven't seen the letter that you're referring to, but I don't doubt it one bit. And again, I wish them the best in terms of getting answers, but I'm sure that what they'll get is the same thing that the Biden administration tends to do, and that's deflection, lack of accountability. Nobody's going to own this, and they continue to weaken our nation at every turn.
All right, real quick here, on the government shutdown, which is looming, where do we stand on this debt ceiling issue?
The debt ceiling issue is something that the Democrats need to own. They've taken it upon themselves to spend trillions of dollars without a single Republican vote. They did it in March with a $1.9 trillion so-called COVID relief package that, generously speaking, maybe had 10% of it going to anything to do with the pandemic, over 90% of it having nothing to do with the pandemic, but it's their wish list of socialist items that they're trying to push across the finish line here in America. They're going to go for broke with this $3.5 trillion package, and I think they'll have not a single Republican vote as they spend it. We should certainly not do anything to enable it by raising the debt ceiling for them.
What does your gut tell you? The government going to shut down?
I don't think so. I think they're going to come to a resolution on that today or tomorrow on the government shutdown. The debt ceiling, we'll probably deal with that in another few weeks or over the course of the next few weeks. We'll see how Schumer approaches it.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Senator, we appreciate your time as always, and thanks for the good information.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you again.
All right. Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee, and a lot to dig into there, folks. But the bottom line is that this government, this administration, is in a tailspin. And we are not 9 months now into the new administration. We got a long way to go, folks. And you really do wonder, what is this country going to look like next year? Not to mention, 3 years from now, but next year. And if the Republicans play their cards right, and if the Republicans deal with the rhinos who are in their midst, the Republicans in name only, I think they're going to have a landslide win in the midterm elections. I truly do. Let's go to New Orleans. Our good friend Miss Janice wants to weigh in on that spending bill and the government looming government shutdown. Janice, what's on your mind?
Yes, Todd. Here's the thing. I know what they do. I know what they do. The Democrats, they'll have a bill, and they put, there's a lot of good stuff in a bill, but then they take and they put things in there, like giving money to illegals and stuff like that. Things that just, you think in horror. It's like horror. It's like a horror movie. You're going to do what? No, you can't do that under no circumstances. So, I know it's hard to pass something. But the thing is this. The Democrats and the Republicans are going to have to find a way to just come together here and make some sort of compromise on both sides so that they can do something here, because no one stops to ever think about this. I know a woman that's in a wheelchair. She can't drive. She has diabetes. She's had a heart attack or two and everything. She needs her medication. and she needs to eat. And so when the government is shut down, now there's a lot of senior citizens on $600 a month, $800 a month, and no matter what they, no matter what kind of money they get in social, if the government shuts down, you ain't getting that money no matter what the amount is, but you still have to eat and you have to feed, she has to feed her dog, and she above all has to have her insulin and everything. You know where I'm going with that?
Yeah, don't go there, Janice. Let's just, you and I are having a pleasant conversation today. Let's just stay focused on the spending bill.
Yes, but I'm thinking about bigger than that.
I know.
Who need the money.
All right, Miss Janice, you and I have been.
Everyone has to eat, Todd.
You've been yelling at me for months now. I just want to know, how are you doing, Miss Janice? How are you doing?
I love you.
I know. And you see, and a lot of people don't get that. You know, we can have an argument and still like each other.
I'm not mad at you.
No, but you're displeased.
What am I mad at you for? But no, my point is, though, they're going to have to come to some sort of compromise, because if it comes to the point where the government's got to shut down, man, it's going to hurt a lot of people.
And Miss Janice, I want to give you a date here, and we've got to run for a break. Write this down, November the 6th. It's a Saturday.
Okay.
We're going to be doing our big book signing in Pascagoula, Mississippi. We have a great radio affiliate there. And we're going to be doing a signing of the Our Daily Biscuit book. And, you know, you're about 90 minutes away in New Orleans.
Well, my husband works on Saturday, and because of COVID,
I
wouldn't be doing that.
Just borrow the car. Come on over. We'll send Avery over to pick you up.
Yeah, well, you tell Avery that I said hello. He's a really nice guy, and so are you. And you know I love you. It's just, you know, we don't always agree on things. But,
that's true.
Know, I have nothing against you. You're a good man, and I really, really love you. I listen to your show all the time, and Grace is a nice lady. I like her. I like all you.
Well, you know, Grace is coming down to New Orleans. Grace, where are you going? You're going to New Orleans, aren't you?
I am at the end of October.
The Doobie Brothers.
Going to see the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, they're going to be playing. Well, I knew they had the Jazz Fest was all set up, and then they canceled that. I thought, you know, that's what she was coming for.
I
told her she needs to stay in the French Quarter, a nice hotel down there.
Well, all I can say is this, though. If you do go in that French Quarter, it can be a nice place, but it can be a bad place. We have a lot of crime here going on, and all I can say to you, Grace, is please be careful.
Well, don't worry. I got my man with me.
Now, both of you be careful.
There you go. All right. She got Mr. Producer. All right, Janice, take care of yourself. Good hearing from you.
You too.
I'm glad we kind of made up there, Grace. I like that. I feel better now.
I was really trying to get her on today.
Mm-hmm.
I love Miss Janice.
By the way, Grace, I'm reading text messages from the owner of the station there in Pascagoula.
Uh-huh.
And says his name is Noah Britt. Great guy, by the way. So we're going to be doing a book signing November the 6th at Nelson Outdoors. And they're requesting that Grace come with me to Pascagoula.
No way.
So maybe we should just make a road trip.
Okay.
All right. We'll think about it. All right. We'll talk about it. So we'll figure all of this out. We've got a lot of details. Oh, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, Clayton in North Carolina. Hang tight. We got a couple of lines open now. We'll be right back, America.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Grace Baker. Grace Baker.
I'm here. I haven't left yet.
I think Hogan Gidley just pranked me.
What?
Yeah, because somebody signed me up for Ole Miss, like, football stuff. And, you know, he's a big Ole Miss fan. And here's the headline, Name a Grove Squirrel. So, you know, the Grove is basically a grove of trees where everybody, that's where they do tailgating. I will say this. They've got one of the better tailgating events in all of the SEC.
That is very fair.
I think that's okay. Good.
Now, did you see, you said a squirrel in the Grove?
Yeah, so here's the deal. They're inviting people to donate $10, and then you get to name one of the squirrels that lives in the cove.
Well, did you see my story I put about a squirrel in your stack today?
Yes, I want to get to, yes, I've got that story.
So I was like, that ties it perfectly. I've got it.
Here we go. A squirrel stockpiled 42 gallons of nuts in a parked truck. This is in North Dakota.
Yep.
Thousands and thousands of nuts found in the man's parked truck over just a few days.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
just a few
busy
days.
Squirrel.
Very busy squirrel.
Mm-mm-mm. So the North Dakota, it's a red squirrel, by the way.
Yes.
Had to remove the nuts from nearly every crevice of his car from the radiator to inside the fenders.
Yeah, it was quite the deep cleaning that he probably was not expecting to do.
So here's why. It's 42 gallons is the, that's how many, and it's walnuts, 42 gallons of walnuts. Here's the thing. What happened when the squirrel came back?
Poor guy.
The squirrel's like,
my hard work is gone.
What the heck's going on here?
Where are my nuts?
These damn socialist squirrels, they took my nuts. They didn't work for those nuts.
Get your own nuts.
I put in hard days work for those nuts.
Multiple days work.
Unbelievable. Anyway.
So there's a squirrel in the grove.
Well, do we know if the squirrel has a name?
No.
Well, maybe we can toss in $10.
That's true.
The poor squirrel. I don't need your money. I want my nuts. What am I supposed to eat this winter?
Poor guy.
What's wrong with you?
And the walnuts are like the good nuts.
Oh, those are good nuts.
Now he's going to have to go find acorns.
These nuts. Is that what they...
Oh, stop it. No.
All right.
You did not just say that.
Let's go to the phones. Clayton, North Carolina, WSIC. All right, Clayton, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know how I can follow that up.
You got to laugh, Clayton. We're going to hell in a handbasket,
friend. Yeah, that made me laugh. I appreciate that. Because right now, there ain't much making me laugh, because I feel honestly like our country is under siege. I really do. And I feel like we're starting to feel the squeeze even here, you know, in North Carolina, with these vaccine mandates and the jobs, the wide open borders down there. They're messing with our religion, you know. They're freezing all of our shipping containers out in the ports. And that's going to lead to nothing but more shortages of whether it's food or supplies. I'm reading about these 32 migrant camps that are on military bases throughout the country. They're spread out for the Afghans and the Haitians and the Hispanics that come up through the border or come over from Afghan. But it's all from this. I feel like a really, really flawed and failed administration.
Yeah, Clayton, you're right, and I'm afraid it's going to get worse before it gets better, which is why we have got to take back the House and the Senate in the midterms. That's going to be the only saving grace for the country. But you're right, and the reason it feels that way is it really is happening. I mean, we're looking at the economy, the border, foreign policy, the military, public schools, the business community. It's in a tailspin right now.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, my girlfriend, she works down in Charlotte in the hospitals, and she's being forced to quit her job or, you know, be terminated. And she's not taking the vaccine. You know, we can make it. I'm self-employed. So,
Clayton, tell her do not resign. Clayton, you tell her that they need to fire her so she'll have a legal leg to stand on.
That's what I told her, that I heard on your show, that do not resign.
Yeah,
and because then it becomes a forced resignation.
Clayton, gotta run, my friend. I am so sorry, but they're going to cut us off here. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Clayton, thanks for calling in. Hang tight, folks. Hour 3 coming up next.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What is this grace? You sent me this cryptic message on the our internal chat lines here. What's going on? Who is Brad from Hendersonville, and what does he want me to name a volunteer?
Okay, he wants you to name the Ole Miss Grove Squirrel we were just talking about.
University of Mississippi.
Yes.
They have one
yes.
of the best, all right, one of the best college tailgate places yes. in America. All right.
And they're wanting you to name their squirrel, correct?
That is correct. I think Hogan Gidley signed me up so that I would get all the Ole Miss like stuff now.
Exactly.
As a joke. And so now they want you to spend $10 so that you can name one of the squirrels in
yep.
the grove.
And Brad from North Carolina said you should name it Volunteer. Just like, you know, Tennessee Volunteers.
Like
a little jab
like the Tennessee Volunteers. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that idea. You know, Congressman Jody Heiss from Georgia would probably call it Bulldog or something. Let's go to this Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks. Go Dogs.
Yeah. You know, Joe, I love Hogan Gidley, but I got to tell you, not a very happy camper. I'm getting spammed now by all the Ole Miss fans.
Well, you just got to make the best with what you have.
This is true. So, Congressman, it was great to see you at the big Faith and Freedom celebration, Truett McConnell University. That was a lot of fun, and Sarah Sanders just hit a home run.
Oh, she knocked it out of the park. Incredible, incredible meeting, incredible crowd. You did a phenomenal job in seeing the event. I tell you, Todd, the whole thing was just an absolute blast and an honor to be a part of so many patriots coming together for common cause and common purpose.
And then I get home, so I drive back early Saturday morning. They put us up in Helen, Georgia, which is a beautiful town, and drove back, turn on the TV, and who do I see? There at the Trump rally in Perry, Georgia, the president invited you to come up on the stage, and you said a few words and did a terrific job.
Yeah, that was an incredible event. Of course, President Trump was in Georgia, and we had a great time. I was able to give a small speech before the event got started. And then, yeah, what an honor for the president to call me up on the stage with him there. Just a tremendous time across the board. I tell you, he still has energy, still draws huge crowds. The crowd was fired up, and people want to see our country restored. They want to see it renewed. And they want to see the America First policies continue.
And, you know, Congressman, before we get into what's happening up on Capitol Hill, it was really funny. I couldn't help but laugh as the president was trying to talk you out of running for Secretary of State because you've done such an incredible job as a congressman. But as you pointed out, you know, it is so vitally important to have a solid person in that position as Secretary of State there in the state of Georgia.
Well, thanks, Todd. It really was an honor. And, you know, he's the president. You know, we've been in the trenches here in Congress with the president on issue after issue after issue and have been able to develop a good relationship with him over the years. But, of course, the entire country knows how critically important election integrity is. And I don't know that there's any state that is more aware of that than is Georgia. And what happened in this past election in Georgia has just been, has just sucked the wind out of a lot of people to believe that our elections could be compromised and violated and that fraud could enter in and have an enormous impact on the outcome of an election. And this is, you know, frankly, it's a decision that I've not ever sought. This is not a career move. In fact, I'm leaving a very, very safe congressional district to step out on this, but I believe election integrity is one of those issues we must guard, we must defend, we must protect, and we must ensure not only to those who are voting now, but to the next generation. And so this is a just something critically important to our country, and it is for that reason I'm stepping up to this.
And I think, you know, you mentioned the word integrity, Congressman, and I think that says a lot about you. I mean, you are a man of integrity. You're right. You're in a very safe congressional seat. You could have served out the rest of your time and your career up on Capitol Hill, but you've decided to step out and try this this new position, and we wish you the very best of luck. I think you're going to be a great Secretary of State, and we've just got to make sure that folks get out and vote on Election Day.
Yeah, we really do. And, you know, there's some people in Georgia who don't believe their votes count any longer. And, you know, we've got to get over that. Fortunately, the General Assembly has passed a very good Election Integrity Reform Act, and I believe that's going to help close a lot of the doors where problems existed this last go-round. And, you know, we are a government, Todd, that rests upon the consent of the governed. And, you know, if the governed ever believe that their voices no longer matter, then we're in serious trouble. And when we have issues like we had this last go-round, fortunately, in Georgia, the General Assembly stepped up and addressed the issues. Now, of course, there's more issues to address, but the major ones, the glowing problems, they've addressed those issues, and people have to recognize that their votes do count, their voice does matter, and the election box is the primary way that we have to do that.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is our good friend Congressman Jody Heiss from the great state of Georgia. Congressman, a lot of action up on Capitol Hill. Of course, we have the looming government shutdown. General Milley and others are testifying before the House Armed Services Committee today. We just had Senator Bill Hagerty on from Tennessee. He says that he thinks that the government is not going to shut down, that there is going to be some sort of an agreement. What are you hearing?
I don't know. I am not convinced at this point that the Democrats have the votes to do it. You've got, listen, they are a party that is in shambles right now. They are fighting each other. They are in absolute disarray. And you've got the moderates going after the socialists going after the moderates, Nancy Pelosi trying to lead them all over the cliff. And then you've got similar issues taking place in the Senate. Here's one thing that I know, Todd. If Nancy Pelosi felt like she had the votes, we would be voting on it now. The fact that we had no vote on Monday, we had no vote on Tuesday, we're not today, it's still not scheduled for tomorrow, that tells me at this moment they don't have the votes. Because one thing for sure about Nancy Pelosi, once she has the votes, she's going to vote right now. She's not going to delay it any further. So I think by virtue of what we're witnessing with her actions indicates that they're not there yet.
All right. Well, it's look, I think for those of us out here in the trenches, the taxpayers, Congressman, we're just tired of all of the wasteful spending. And I mean, there comes a point where it's just not sustainable. I think we're already past that point. And the future we're leaving our children and grandchildren is incredibly bleak right now.
Oh, there's no question. This bill, I mean, I've referred to this as the bankrupt America bill. How do you spend another $3.5 to $5.5 trillion? We don't have those kinds of funds. And then to back it up, Pelosi and company come back and say, but it's not going to cost anything. How do you spend $5 trillion without, it's going to cost somebody. I mean, it's going to cost all of us. The taxes that will be raised will be a disaster. It will be job killing. It will be a big government intrusion like we've never seen before, a major step towards socialism. All of that is wrapped up in this bill, Todd. And I wish people could fully understand if this thing passes, we are potentially looking at a radical transformation of our American way of life. And that's why we're fighting, doing everything we can to make sure this does not pass. But we're in the minority, so we are working with and hoping some Democrats are that they continue in disarray, and there's going to be enough Democrats to join the minority to prevent this from going through.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Congressman. Where can people go if they want to contribute to the campaign, get involved in the campaign? Where can they go?
JodyHeiss.com. JodyHeiss.
All right. By the way, tell Mrs. Heiss, you know, I met her a couple of years ago, and the nicest lady I've ever met. What a kind person.
Thank you, Todd. I sure will. She is. She glows everywhere she goes.
Yep, that's,
thank you.
It is true. All right, Congressman, good hearing from you. Great to see you last weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. One of the good guys right there, folks. Congressman Jody Heiss. By the way, Grace, I was his plus one to the State of the Union address a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
It was a lot of fun. You know, I had to sit between a bunch of liberals.
Eesh,
and
I'm
a drink and an illegal alien.
Oh.
I know, I'm serious. I had to sit next to an illegal. One of the Democrats gave up their seat for an illegal alien.
I'm sure you heard some interesting stories.
Oh, big time. And it was really funny because they all thought that I was a liberal
until they talked to you for 2 minutes.
And then I couldn't help but notice there's this one lady who was seated next to me. She was a nice lady, nice enough. But she was very intrigued. You know, she had a great story. She ran some nonprofits to food, you know, to help feed people. Good charitable stuff. But anyway, she was as leftist as the day is long. And when she said, and I was just waiting for it, she was like, so what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a journalist. Oh, that's great. Where do you work? For one of the TV networks. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Which network? NPR? No, not NPR. Oh, NBC? No, that's CNN? No, that's not it. And she goes, oh. And I'm like, Fox News. And she sat, and you can see this on the camera. Grace, she was leaning in like this. I was on her the left side, and then she just leans back over.
Like slowly distancing herself.
All right, there you go. So, but anyway, it was funny. I realized I was truly the only liberal, and there's a photograph somewhere. President Trump said something, and of course I shot up to give him a standing ovation. The only person in that side of the House chamber.
Bless them.
I'll tell you what. Bless their hearts. You got that right. Folks, you know, many of you listening to my voice, you just sent your son, you just sent your daughter off to college, and it really is an exciting time, right? It's one of those special moments. And it's an exciting time for the kids. Maybe not so much for you as a parent. You're sort of going to miss your kid. But college campuses are not all that exciting. They can also be very challenging places, especially for students of faith. Public universities all over the country are literally muzzling free speech. We talk about these stories every day on this program. They're also implementing these rules and codes of conduct that are specifically targeting Christian students. And that's why I am asking for your help. We are generating all this week support for Alliance Defending Freedom. It is the legal defense organization that stands up for your students' right to free speech and freedom of religion on America's college campuses. ADF has won case after case whenever public universities try to marginalize students of faith and prevent them from expressing their beliefs through speech, through writing. And by the way, having the same right to use campus facilities as other student groups and organizations. Now, you're about to hear from attorney Tyson Langhofer from Alliance Defending Freedom, and he tells us none of their help cost your son or daughter a single dime.
Well, we do all this for free. ADF represents all of our clients free of charge. But we're only able to do this because of the generosity of listeners like yours, which help protect the freedoms. But what everybody needs to know is these freedoms protect everyone, not just Catholic believers, but Muslim believers and non-believers. Everyone's rights to speak on campus are on the line here.
So ADF, just to clarify, they do all of its work for free for its campus clients, but they need our help to do that. They need our help to cover the incredible cost of defending our freedoms. So here's what I would like for you to do, and I'm really begging you to do this. Go to toddstarns.com. You will see the Alliance Defending Freedom banners all over my website, and I want you to consider a $100 donation right now, $100 to the Freedom Fund. Or you can also phone in the gift, 855-716-7491. That's 855-716-7491. And I hope that you join me in supporting the great work of Alliance Defending Freedom. Folks, this is an important thing for us. We don't ask you to do a lot of stuff. That's why I'm hoping that you will help me in this cause. I have already made a donation, and I hope you do as well. ToddStarns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner and donate $100, $50, $25, whatever you can afford. ADF will greatly appreciate that as they stand up and defend our Christian, our conservative college students. We'll be right back, America.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Grace, have you seen the story about the alligator in Florida?
It was everywhere.
Is this the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Yeah. Oh, I want to hear some more of that. Wow.
Right. Yeah, we got DJ Kyle.
I love it. Spinning the tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, one of the things that we got, a request from our listeners, we have a lot of younger listeners, and they're like, oh, you know, do you dislike country music? And I'm like, well, no. I mean, I like all sorts of different kinds of music, but I'm not that musically inclined. But yeah. Fortunately, Kyle is.
He
and
is.
Kyle is sort of like our resident musical expert. And the guy's all over the place with his music. He was like at, you know, he goes to the big concerts and
you
travels.
Never know what kind of music you're going to hear walking in.
He's well cultured. But then he's got like jazz.
Oh, yeah. He's got cool jazz, rap, everything. Mm-hmm.
And this somebody called Zap. I'm not even sure what a Zap is, but it was very good.
Zap.
Zap. So anyway, guy with the garbage can, we have this. It's a video. This is a TV story we're going to try to share on the radio. But there was a guy in Florida who was trying to capture an alligator with one of those garbage dumpsters, like, you know, that you have in your yes. in your home that you pull out to the side of the sidewalk. And he's trying to shove the alligator into the garbage canister.
It's quite amusing.
And he says, look, I got kids. I got to protect the kids.
See, I feel like alligators in Florida are just like, you know, raccoons here. It's like you see them all the time. You're like, it's no big deal.
No, they're not raccoons. They're alligators.
But they're, you know, it's just an everyday occurrence around there.
The raccoon will give you rabies. The alligator will eat you. And I got to tell you, the alligator was really aggressive.
The guy was coming at him with a garbage can.
Well, it wasn't the guy. You know, all the alligator saw was this darkness, this great black void inside the garbage can that was coming at him because he had the garbage can. The way he was, it was almost like when you're sweeping and you have a broom and a dustbin. So in that scenario, yes. The garbage can is the dustbin. And sure enough, and so the guy is able to finally shove the alligator into it. And then, like, sucker lifts punch. It up and then slams the lid down.
But then what do you do? You got to sit on it or something to keep them in
now?
There.
The alligator was not very happy. Only in Florida would something
only
like that
in Florida.
Happen.
Florida man.
Only in Florida. Oh, by the way, Christy Noem is now weighing in on what happened with this allegation that she had an affair with Corey Lewandowski. And so I'm just going to read this to you for what it's worth. The governor says these rumors are total garbage and a disgusting lie. These old, tired attacks on conservative women are based on a falsehood that we can't achieve anything without a man's help. I love Byron. Oh, that's the husband. All right. I love Byron. I'm proud of the God-fearing family we've raised together. Now I'm getting back to work. All right, there you go. So Christy Noem says she is not having an affair with Corey Lewandowski. And as the world turns, these are the days of our lives. Meanwhile, at General Hospital, we'll be right back, America. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, listen up. All you Doobie Brothers fans, you'll see Grace Baker down in New Orleans. She's heading down for the big concert.
Woohoo!
That's going to be fun. We expect photos, by the way.
Oh, well, of course.
All right. You need to look up Miss Janice. She might be a Doobie Brothers fan.
She might be.
Back in the day, you never know.
Michael McDonald.
Never know. Hey, folks, we're going to be broadcasting the show next week. From out in California, West Coast Bible College, we're going to be, we'd love to see you out there. We're going to be in the Antelope Valley, which is up in northern Los Angeles County, up in the high desert. Going to be a lot of fun. Then I'll be doing some other events as well. I'll be speaking at Calvary Chapel Church in Chino Hills with Pastor Jack Gibbs. And I'll also be emceeing the Pacific Justice Institute Gala. That's usually down at Disneyland at the Grand Californian. So we're going to have a lot of fun down there and love for you to drop by and say hello. All this week, folks, we have been telling you about our effort, which officially gets underway at the first of the month. We are raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom, one of our favorite organizations out there, the world's largest legal organization committed to protecting religious freedom, free speech, marriage and family issues, and, of course, the sanctity of life. You know, one of the stories we've been following that ADF has been covering and has been representing an individual, a school teacher in Loudoun County, Virginia, Tanner Cross, who faced punishment over a very serious issue. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome the senior counsel from Alliance Defending Freedom, Tyson Langhofer. Hey, Tyson, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me back.
All right, well, let's refresh the memory of our listeners. Tell us what happened to Tanner Cross.
Yeah, well, back at the end of May, the school board in Loudoun County was considering adopting a policy which would force teachers and students to refer to any student who demanded it by any pronoun that the student demanded. And Tanner Cross, the physical education teacher, elementary school physical education teacher for 8 years at Loudoun County, he was concerned about this, and he went to the board meeting where they invited public comment. And he shared his opinion. And less than 2 days later, they suspended him, claiming that he had been a disruption to the school activities, even though nothing had been disrupted at all. We filed suit, and thankfully the district court entered an injunction and ordered the school to reinstate Tanner because found that they had likely violated his constitutional rights of free speech, free exercise of religion.
So, I mean, and again, this is, you know, a lot of teachers in this kind of a situation normally would have backed down, but the good thing about Tanner is that, you know, he got connected with Alliance Defending Freedom, and you guys stepped in and defended this good man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're thankful for him. And you know, what's unfortunate is that after this happened, even though many, many teachers and many other parents have expressed concern about this policy, the school went ahead and adopted the policy. And so now, right now, all teachers and all students in Loudoun County are mandated to use words and speak messages to students that they think are going to be harmful. And so two other teachers, Monica Gill and Kimberly Wright, have joined the lawsuit now, and they're challenging directly this policy. And they're asking the court to order the school not to force teachers and students to speak messages to children that could be harmful. I mean, children who struggle with gender dysphoria should be given the best care we can provide. But this can only be accomplished when school policies reflect reality, not when they're based on harmful ideologies.
And Tyson, I think at least the listeners on this radio program, they know what's happening on these high school, junior high school, grade school campuses where religious liberty and freedom of conscience are under assault every single day.
Yeah, that absolutely is. I mean, you know, the sad thing about this is you've got Monica Gill, who's taught more than 20 years high school AP history in Loudoun County. You've got Kimberly Wright, who's taught in middle school for more than 20 years, and Tanner for more than 8 years. They're great teachers who love all their students and treat them all with dignity and respect. Yet Loudoun County and many schools across the country are trying to drive these teachers out of the school system by mandating these policies, which are radical, which tell them, you know, force them to speak things that are untrue, and they're going to be harmful to these children, that the children that they're called to protect.
So, Tyson, all this month and through the month of October, this radio program is partnering with ADF, and we're going to do our part to help raise money. And this is an important thing that people need to understand. When you represent Tanner, when you represent those other two teachers, they're not having to fork over any money to Alliance Defending Freedom. These are pro bono cases for you guys.
Yeah, they absolutely. We don't charge our clients a dime, and in fact, you know, many of our cases go on for years and years, and they incur millions and millions of dollars of attorney's fees, and you know, no one can afford that, let alone a public school teacher. And so they wouldn't have the ability to retain us unless we, you know, had people like your listeners out there supporting us. And thankfully, with the Lord's blessing, we've been very successful. We've won 13 victories at the Supreme Court since 2011, and we played a role in 64 other victories at the Supreme Court. And these are really important issues. You know, everyone who sends their kids to public schools, you know, should be standing up for teachers like Tanner and Monica and Kim, who are saying, enough's enough. We're not going to harm our students and be forced to speak messages that are untrue.
Well, I think it's a great thing you're doing. And, of course, we incredibly support the work that ADF is doing. And even back in my years at Fox News, I mean, 16 years now, I've been reporting on and covering your ADF stories and the stories of your clients. And I think it's important, Tyson, for people to understand that we all have a part to play, whether it's us sharing the stories, you guys defending these clients, the clients standing up and speaking out, and now our listeners, our supporters coming on and being a financial encouragement to Alliance Defending Freedom.
You're absolutely right. These are freedoms that affect all of us, and we all do have our part. Yeah, we're providing the legal services, but they can provide the financial support, but they also can provide, you know, the public advocacy support. You know, they should be out there speaking these messages to their neighbors, to telling them, you know, alerting them to the problems that are happening in the public schools and the harm that is being enforced on these students through these really radical ideologies.
All right, folks, if you would like to be a part of our effort, and we're asking all of you to make an investment of at least $100 in the Freedom Fund, you can do that by going to toddstarnes.com, clicking on the Alliance Defending Freedom banners. They're all over our website. That's toddstarnes.com, or you can call 855-716-7461. We have got a big, big war ahead of us, folks, and it is going to take every single penny for ADF to defend our fellow Christians, our fellow conservatives, as they fight this good fight. Tyson, thank you again for the great work you guys are doing, and look forward to getting you back on very soon.
Thanks for your support, Todd.
All right, Tyson Langhofer, ladies and gentlemen, from Alliance Defending Freedom, and they are doing some great, great work there. All right, folks, we're going to have to take a break. We're following other big stories up on Capitol Hill. The budget showdown looms. A shutdown of the government on the table hangs in the balance. No clear indication. I mean, Bill Hagerty said it's not going to happen. Jody High says looks like it's going to happen. What do you think here, folks? I mean, if push comes to shove, and there is no agreement, should they shut down the government? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What am I watching right now? So, Grace, you sent me this. Is this supposed to be late-night entertainment? Is this Stephen Colbert?
This is why nobody watches it.
Are those
it
dancing
anymore.
Condoms?
No.
Oh, they're needles.
They're syringes.
Syringes.
I don't know if it's just women either. I couldn't quite tell with some of them.
Some of them, the pronouns, yeah, not exactly clear. Ambiguous. The pronouns are ambiguous.
And I know it's best to watch this, but you know, we have the audio of the song. Oh, it's been stuck in my head all morning.
Can I just say something here? I'm watching, and we'll have the video up at toddstarnes.com. I'm watching Stephen Colbert as these dancing syringes are frolicking about in the audience. Grace,
yes.
A general observation here about the audience. They're not wearing masks.
Nope, and there's no social distancing.
None. What's going on?
Because, Todd, they all have the vaccine jazz hands.
You got to have the jazz hands.
This song gives me jazz hands.
Oh, they're
vibes.
Broadway people.
Yes.
We don't judge. We support thespians on the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, so let's listen to Stephen Colbert and the dancing syringes. I love this song. It's fabulous. Come on, syringe girls.
Vaccine.
Are you kidding me?
That's it.
That's it.
Jazz hands.
That's it.
Sweet. Been stuck in my head all morning. This tune and then...
That's it?
Yep. With the dancing syringe people.
No wonder Gutfeld's winning in the ratings. That's not very funny. I just don't understand.
It's not funny. It's so cringy.
What was the point? But again,
they're celebrating.
What are they celebrating? Because they're all in a room together, unmasked, and they're not socially distanced, and they have syringes dancing about them, frolicking about.
It's very disturbing.
I don't know. I'm not too sure I want to be jammed by that. I'm just saying. I am just saying. By the way, I heard a story. The government's coming in and saying, you've got to show your vaccine papers, Grace, before you go into a sporting event or like one of these big entertainment venues. I'm assuming when you go down to New Orleans, you're going to have to show your papers to get in. I know somebody who can take care of that if you haven't already.
Oh. Is this the new black market?
I'm not going to say, but
I would never, Todd. Never, ever.
Oh, I know you wouldn't, illegal. But somebody might need to. Mm. And so it would be good for you to have that information so you could be a good friend.
That's true. And you got to be a good friend.
You know, you got to do what you got to do under a fascist regime.
But
you know?
I would never do anything.
No, of course not.
Never, ever.
Kyle would never do anything like that.
No, never. No,
he's a
Producer Kyle is a good
Christian man.
Never, so ever.
Never do something like that.
And neither would you, Todd.
I think
we're
overdoing
ever,
it.
Ever.
I think we may be overdoing it. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So anyway, FedEx Forum, which is where the Memphis Grizzlies play basketball, and I think the University of Memphis Tigers play basketball too. The Daily Memphian, which is the newspaper in Memphis, they're reporting. They have sources that say you will be forced to not only show your vaccine papers, but you will be forced to wear a face mask if you plan to go to a basketball game at FedEx Forum. Now, Grace, lovely. I know you are a huge, huge basketball fan.
Yes.
I'm curious, when you heard this story, what went through your mind?
Okay, to be honest, I've been going to the Memphis Tigers football games, which I know is not at the FedEx Forum. It's at the Liberty Bowl Stadium, but just for reference. It holds more people, okay? It holds like 60,000 people. FedEx Forum holds about 19,000 people. And when I heard this, all I could think was, I will walk in, I will have my mask, I will sit down with my beverage and take off my mask, and that's it. That's what everyone's going to do. They're just going to take it off when they get in there. Just like at the Liberty Bowl, nobody is wearing a mask. When they're in the bathrooms, when they're in the hallway, when they're in the stadium, no masks. And there's signs that say masks are required.
FedEx Forum will require fans ages 12 and older to either submit proof of COVID-19 vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test result within 72 hours before entry to all events. And whoever the source is, everybody's quoting the source now. Everybody has their own source. And the source will not be named because an official announcement has not been made yet. But it goes into effect after October 19th, and it applies. So can I just say this? All right, let's just think about this. If, in fact, it was mandatory, if life hung in the balance for someone at the hospital, okay, which is what they're telling us with the doctors and the nurses, Grace, why would they not mandate immediately that everybody be vaccinated? Why are they giving people a deadline? They're knowingly now putting people's lives in jeopardy.
That is a good point. The only thing I would say is because that's when like the NBA season starts. So maybe that's thinking it.
I'm going to get back to FedEx Forum, but I'm talking about the hospitals. They're giving all these hospitals where you've got a deadline. All right, why isn't the deadline immediately?
That's true.
I mean, if in fact lives are in danger.
But I guess it takes several weeks to get, you got to get the first shot, then you got to get the second shot.
It doesn't matter. So they should have done this months ago.
They should have.
If in fact this is really about life and death.
It's not.
It's about power and control. It's not about life or death. It's about power and control. And that leads me, I'm wondering why. I mean, there are already big events at the FedEx Forum.
There are.
There's some concerts
going on.
Why wait until October 19th? But you're telling me that's when basketball starts.
Yeah, that's pretty much when basketball gets going. So maybe they're just thinking, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand their line of reasoning.
You see, I'm with you. I don't think anybody's really going to care.
No, they're not. And because they did the same thing for the Liberty Bowl. They put on all this stuff like, oh, you know, this is going to be required. Nobody followed it because they can't police that many people. If they don't really care about 60, I know it was an outdoor event, but 60,000 people being in a stadium together, they're not going to police 19,000 being in a stadium.
So why make this announcement? Why do that?
Because it look, quote unquote, looks good. We're quote unquote doing our part. It's just optics.
If I were you, and if I was, and I don't, I mean, look, we're here in Memphis. You may be in North Carolina, in Charlotte or Chicago or Los Angeles. But if I were you, I would just ignore the mandates. Just go and live your life. If they want to give you a ticket, make them give you a ticket.
Honestly, Todd, I walk into everywhere and just don't, I don't have a mask on. And if somebody says something and I'm already like, you know, wrapping up my shopping or whatever, I'm like, okay, I throw it on and I get out. But
so, exactly.
I don't throw fit, but.
No, you just go in, do your business, and you're in and out.
I honestly am doing mostly online shopping now. It's just not fun.
Well, it's safer that way, too. You know, you get mugged or something.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's terrible.
You're not wrong.
Anyway, but yeah, you folks, I wouldn't show them anything. And I have been, I guess I'm partially vaccinated. What is that? I'm not sure what the vernacular
limbo,
is.
Todd.
I'm bivaxxed.
Oh, no.
I am. Like,
oh, no.
I can, because I could go either way. I mean, right? I've only got one of the, I've got one of the shots. So I could get it or maybe I won't get it. But I ain't getting the second dose. I can tell you that much right now. Not going
to
happen.
I don't think you need to.
No. I don't want to keel over.
No, please, no.
And there's enough. Look, I go back to this. This is the canary in the coal mine. And I mentioned this yesterday, Grace. You've got doctors and nurses, medical professionals by the tens of thousands, and I bet it's more, by the tens of thousands who have refused to get this vaccine. They would rather be fired. They would rather lose their benefits, lose their job, lose their standing, lose all of it instead of getting that vaccine. And I want to know why. What do they know about that vaccine that they're not telling us that is so bad that they would be willing to give everything up? That's the question. All right, been a lot of fun today, folks. Hey, don't forget the podcast available, toddstarns.com, along with our newsletter, which should be coming out in about 3 minutes. You better sign up quickly. Have a great one, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.